This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep you always in His protection from all forms of evil, from all threats, that which you know and that which you do not know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and always be pleased with you and enable you to do things which ensure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, there is absolutely nothing in life. Absolutely nothing in life which is worth angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. There is nothing in life which makes it worthy to do at the cost of the anger, at the cost of the displeasure of Allah. And that's for a very simple reason. And the reason is that there is nothing in the world which lasts. Nothing lasts. Everything ends. Allah said, وَمَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, whatever is with you will perish, will finish, will end. And whatever is with Allah will last. So it makes no sense to acquire something that you will lose anyway at the cost of something which never ends, at the cost of something which you will never lose if you get that. And that is why we have these lectures and these teachings, which the purpose of all of them is the same, which is how to practice them in our life. This class on Akhlaq of the Ummati, we dealt with some ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, and inshallah we will deal from this lecture onwards with the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a means of khair and barakah for us, so that we may learn and we may practice these things in our life. Just think about it and reflect that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to mention specific behaviors, specific character traits, specific matters and things about our dealings with other people? Why does Allah have to mention that in such detail? Right, in minute detail, Allah is explaining things for us so that we learn to live our lives in a way with beauty and dignity and grace and peace and harmony and tranquility within ourselves, with our families, with our neighbors, in our societies and countries. The Muslim must become the fundamental source for all goodness. That is why Islam came. That is what Allah told us about us. Allah said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah said that you are the best of people. That's a Harley. That is a man on a Harley. That's my dream bike, a Harley Davidson. Make dua that one day I get one and I ride around on a Harley Davidson. So to come back to this, the purpose, Allah said you are the best of people and you have been extracted, you have been selected for the benefit of people. Linnas, benefit of all humanity, and by inference, by definition, benefit of everyone who exists. All human beings, all birds and mammals, all insects, all plants, all rivers and seas, the air, the atmosphere, everything must benefit from the presence of a Muslim in the midst. And if that is not happening, then there is something seriously wrong about how we understand Islam and how we represent Islam. It is a great tragedy that the religion which came with specific instructions, with a specific focus on the benefit of the whole world, today has become a religion which is hated by everybody. I'm saying it's all your fault. No, it's not all your fault. It's very much the fault also of the propagandists and all the Islamophobic people and all of their racism and all of their hatred. But believe me, it's also our responsibility. Because neither you nor I can say that everything they say about us is wrong. There's some very painful truths in what they say about us. So let us focus on ourselves. We can't change them. That's not in our power. What we can do is to change ourselves in such a way that every time anybody says anything hateful about Rasulullah, anytime anyone says anything hateful about Islam or about Muslims and about our culture and about our habits and about our beliefs and about our behavior and our speech, there should be a counterpoint that the world can look to and say, now hold on a second. You are saying this about Muslims, but this is another picture of Muslims. And we are not talking about a picture that is 700 years old or 10 or 1,000 years old. We are not talking about the time of Rasulullah. We are not talking about this kingdom or that kingdom. We are talking about now. About now. That is our goal and that's our challenge. And that's the whole point of the lectures of Akhlaq of the Ummati. Akhlaq is what people see. My brothers and sisters, we know this and many times we have heard this over and over again. You've heard it from me and I'm sure you've heard it from a million other people. And that is that our prayers, our salah is inside the masjid or is inside our homes. Generally speaking, people who are not Muslim do not come there. Right? Fasting, nobody knows. If I'm fasting today, you don't know that. Nobody knows that. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Allah said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. So that is secret. Zakat, we give to Muslims. Hajj, we do with our other Muslim brothers and sisters. There is no non-Muslim there at the time of Hajj. Now, of course, Hajj videos are available so non-Muslims can see them on a video. But where is the essence of Hajj and the feeling of Hajj and so on and so forth? I mean, obviously, you can't get that on television. You can't get that in a video. And you can't even get that even if you are there, unless you are a Muslim, because that is all about being one of and one with the community. And if you are not Muslim, even if you are there, you are one in a crowd. Right? I mean, how are you going to link to what is happening there unless you believe in Islam? So by and large, as far as our ibadat and as far as our worship is concerned, our non-Muslim brothers and sisters have no access to that. What do they have access to? They have access to you and me as we drive our car. And maybe even more when we park our car. This is one of our major problems worldwide. We are united. We have so many different sects in Islam. But there is only one sect as far as car parking is concerned. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. People have access to that. People are seeing that. People, why do you think most people object when you want to build a masjid in any residential locality? Because of parking. Because of how Muslims park their cars. It's very shameful. It is very shameful. So people have access to that. People are seeing how we park our cars. People are seeing how we drive. People are seeing how we deal with them in our businesses. When they come to buy something from us, do we deceive them? Do we lie to them? Do we cheat? Do we deal in things which we know are haram? We have Muslims who have shops where they are selling tobacco, where they are selling pornographic magazines, where they are selling beer, alcohol, where they are selling pork. And then if you tell them, brother, this is haram, they have lotteries. And if you tell them Allah has prohibited pork, Allah has prohibited addictive substances, so there goes your tobacco, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited harmful things, there goes your pornographic magazines and tobacco, Allah has prohibited alcohol, there goes your beer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited gambling, there goes your lottery tickets, then why are you in this business, why are you doing that? They say, no, you know, I'm not selling all of this to Muslims, I'm selling it only to non-Muslims. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is your understanding of Islam. That you think that Islam is something which authorizes you to spread corruption around yourself. As long as that corruption is being spread to non-Muslims, this is what you think Islam is. If that is what you think Islam is, then believe me, you are the Islamophobes' dream come true. And you have nothing to do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you don't accept what I'm saying, if you want to argue with me, then find me one single instance in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam caused harm to a non-Muslim or permitted somebody to cause harm to a non-Muslim. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, treat your neighbor with generosity and with goodness. Treat him with honor." He didn't say treat your Muslim neighbor. He treat your neighbor, whoever the neighbor might be. My neighbor is a Jew. My neighbor is a Christian. My neighbor is a Hindu. My neighbor is a Sikh. My neighbor is an atheist. It doesn't matter. If he is your neighbor, then that neighbor has a right on me. They have a right to be treated with honor and with dignity. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one, if you believe in Allah and you believe in the last day, in the Day of Judgment, treat your guest with dignity. He didn't say treat your Muslim guest with dignity. With generosity, with grace. Whoever the guest is. People have rights on us. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not forgive the person unless the one whose right you violated forgives you. So please don't even go there. Right? My brothers and sisters, this deen is beautiful. It came for the benefit of everybody. It did not come to harm anyone or anything on the face of the earth. That is not the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Islam, so that we can harm people. No. Allah sent Islam so we can benefit people. So if you are doing a business in which you are selling harmful things, harmful to society, not just Muslims, then your business is haram, your business is prohibited. That income from that business is prohibited. That is what you are showing to people. You're showing to people that you are a being, despite the fact that you are a Muslim, you are dealing in substances which cause corruption in society. This is what people are seeing. People are looking and people are seeing your speech. Especially when you are angry. Everybody speaks sweetly when you are happy. But when you are angry, what happens? Do you rave and rant? Do you curse? Do you use profanity? Do you go completely berserk? If you do, people are seeing that. And if you don't, people are also seeing that. Right? They're not only seeing something which is negative, they're seeing something which is positive as well. They are seeing what we show them. So what is the picture we are presenting to the world? This is the meaning of akhlaq. People do not see me praying, but they will see how I treat my family. They will see how the wife treats the husband, how the husband treats the wife, how they treat the children. What is the example before the children? Right? People see all of this. What do we show them? And that is why these lectures on akhlaq of the ummati, so that we can look at ourselves and we can bring about the changes that are necessary. If you are living a life, or if I am living a life where no change is required, alhamdulillah, all power to you. I'm not saying that every life needs to be changed. Maybe you are living a beautiful life which does not need to be changed. Alhamdulillah, I know some people like this. Allah knows them better than I do, but at least as far as I can see, there is really nothing in that person that needs to be changed. May Allah bless them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them istiqamat, may Allah keep them firm on the path that they are on. But if we are not like that, then what must we do? We must bring about changes. And that's the reason why, as you know, at the end of each lecture, I remind you and I remind myself to say, what is the one thing that you will start doing as a result of this lecture? What is the one thing you will stop doing as a result of this lecture? And what is the one thing that you will continue to do with great confidence and with more consistency than you used to do it, because now you know that this is the right way to go. Now, brothers and sisters, it does not require an explanation to realize that the road can only take us to the destination that it connects with. Any road. If I want to go to Boston from where I am, then I have to go east. And if I want to go to New York, I have to go west. Now, if I'm traveling west and I want to reach Boston, it's not going to happen unless I can go right around the world and come out from the other side. So I need to change direction. So any road can only lead to the destination that it connects with. If we don't want to go to that destination, then we need to change the road. Not merely make dua for a different destination while speeding along down the same road. Now, this is the point I want to make to you, because a lot of people are under this mistaken impression. They think that if they just make this dua, and worse still, many people tell somebody else, Shaykh, please make dua for me, then Allah must give me hidayat. Well, what is that? You want hidayat, you ask Allah. You want some third party to make dua for you to get hidayat, when you have no desire for hidayat, you don't even want to make dua for hidayat. And you want Allah to give you hidayat. So, these lectures are all such reminders, really, are in the nature of signposts along the road, telling us where we are headed and announcing exits which we can take to change direction. So if I'm headed down the road to, or I think I'm going to Boston, and I see signs for New Haven, and I see signs now for New Jersey, then what do I say? I say I'm on the wrong road, because the road to Boston, from where I am, I should not be seeing signs for New Jersey. If I'm seeing signs for New Jersey, it means I'm going in the opposite direction. So what must I do? Let me find the exit. Next exit, I take the exit, I make a U-turn, I get back on the road in the opposite direction, which starts showing me signs for Boston. Then I see the sign for Worcester, and I say, okay, I'm on the right track towards Boston. Right? Now, please remember, I remind myself and you, like it happens on the highways, there are exits, and there are exits, and there are exits, until we finally come to the toll gate. And after the toll gate, there are no exits. Once we go through the toll gate, then we are bound to get to the destination that comes after that toll gate. So finally, along the road, we are getting all the signs, all the signposts, all the exits. We realize we are on the wrong road, but still we don't take any exit. We do not change direction. Finally, there will come a time when we reach the last toll gate. And after that, there is no exit. until we reach the destination that we chose. And remember, the one who ignored all the exit signs cannot complain that he had no chance to get off the road. He had all the chance in the world. He decided not to take it. He chose to stay on the road, and then he reached wherever that road was going. Now let us reflect and introspect so that we can take the right exit. Now, brothers and sisters, it is extremely important for us to do that, because without that, we will be stuck with the wrong exit, and if that happens, then really there will be no help. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that situation and to help us to take the right exit so that we can be in a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. My brothers and sisters, the greatest asset that we can have is the azmat. It is the glory, the magnificence, the power, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. This is the greatest wealth that we can possibly have. The azmat of Allah in our hearts. How do we get that? Why is that? Why am I saying it's an asset? Tell me. Why is it an asset? It's an asset because of two things. Number one, it is protection from sin. The person whose heart is filled with the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot possibly consciously do something which he knows displeases Allah. I mean, the two are logically incompatible, right? He cannot be saying that I know and I realize the greatness and glory of Allah, and my heart is filled with the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet I am consciously dealing in interest, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised war against the one who deals in interest. If I realize the glory and magnificence and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would I want to go to war with him? Really, we need to ask ourselves and check our iman. Do I really have iman? I think I'm Muslim. Is it true? Is it really true? Because I have this, I claim that I have this great glory of Allah in my heart. Yet, I deal in interest. I lend or borrow on interest. As a result of which, I have accepted a declaration of war from Allah. My name by default was in the list of awliya of Allah. Because Allah said, Allahu waliul ladina amanu. Allah said, Allah is the wali of all the believers. So my name by default was in the list of the awliya of Allah. In that list, somebody has more status, somebody has low status, forget about all that. As far as you are concerned, if your name is in the list of the awliya of Allah, even if you are the last human being on that list, you are still a wali of Allah. And if you are a wali of Allah, believe me, my brother and sister, Jahannam is haram on you. There's no way you're going to Jahannam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. How is Allah going to put somebody who is his wali in the Jahannam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised and said, Allahu waliul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila nur. Allah is the wali of the believers, and he takes them out from darkness into light. He takes them out from Jahannam into Jannah. He takes them out from misguidance into guidance. He takes them out from the list of people he is angry with and puts them in the list of people he is happy with. So default setting for all believers, inshallah, is Wali of Allah. When you chose to deal in interest, you said by your action. By your action, you said, I am not interested in that list. I am going to put my name in the list of the enemies of Allah. Because Allah declared war on the one who deals in interest. What do you call the one who is at war with you? You call that person your wali? You call that person your friend, your helper, your protector, your supporter? Is it really true? Is that really true? And that's why I always say there is only one person in the world you can fool, and that is yourself. You cannot fool anybody else. You can fool yourself, but I suggest you don't. So if the heart is filled with the glory and majesty of Allah, you will never do this. And if you are doing this, then check your heart and say, who is Allah to me? Who is Allah to me? Do I understand glory and magnificence of my Rabb Jalla Jalalu? Check that, because now you are on a road and you are getting an exit sign after exit sign. You are getting a signpost after signpost, which is showing you that this road is leading to a place that you don't want to go to. If you continue to remain on that road, the toll gate will come. And what is that toll gate? That toll gate is your and my death. And when that toll gate comes, then there is no change. A group of tribal Arabs, Badun Arabs, came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the day? When is the day of judgment? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at the group. There was a young boy with them. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Allah gives this young boy a long life, then the day of judgment will come for every other one of you before he dies. What day of judgment is he referring to? He is referring to the day that they die. The day I die is my day of judgment. On that day I will know if I am going to Jannah or Jahannam. Actual Jannah or Jahannam will happen when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. I ask Allah Jalla Jalaluhu for Jannah. I ask him for protection from the fire. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Wa adkhilna al-jannata ma'al abrar. Ya Aziz, ya Ghaffar. But even though I will go to Jannah only on the day of judgment, I will know whether I'm going there or not the day I die. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Enter my Jannah. Allah is saying, may Allah cause Malakul Maut to recite these ayat for us when he comes to meet us, inshallah. Now, brothers and sisters, fill your heart with the glory and magnificence of Allah. The first thing it does is, it protects you from sin. It protects me from sin. The second thing it does is, it gives you tremendous confidence. Because the heart which is filled with the glory and magnificence of Allah cannot have the fear of anyone or anything else in it. It cannot fear any human being. It cannot fear any creature. It cannot fear any circumstance. A heart which is filled with the glory and magnificence of Allah is not afraid of corona. Is not afraid of economic collapse. It's not afraid of political changes. It is not afraid of anything on the face of this planet. That does not mean that you don't take precautions against corona. Of course you do. Because this is also part of Islam, to do that which is beneficial. And it is beneficial for you and for others, for you to take precautions against corona. So be careful, wash your hands, wear masks, maintain social distance, don't go out unnecessarily, avoid all places where people congregate. Don't worry, even if the lockdown is lifted in your country, that is a political decision, that is not a medical decision. It does not mean that the coronavirus has disappeared. It does not mean that you are not in any danger. The danger is still there, it is still present. Be careful about that. Don't go to big gatherings. Don't gather together. No matter what the law says, the law can say you can have 100 people, 1,000 people together. Please don't go and don't join those gatherings. Not because you are afraid, not because you fear death. Alhamdulillah, your heart is filled with the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not fear corona, but you are doing it because this is good sense, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do, which is to do that which is beneficial and to stay away from that which is not beneficial. You're not afraid of economic collapse, but that does not mean that you are extravagant in your spending. It does not mean that you have no savings. It does not mean that you have no investments. No, you have all of that. What it means is that you will not invest in something which is doubtful. You will not invest in something which is haram, which is prohibited. Right? The heart which is filled with the noor and the glory and magnificence of Allah cannot simultaneously be filled with stress, cannot simultaneously be filled with distress, cannot simultaneously be filled with sadness, cannot simultaneously be filled with fear, cannot simultaneously be filled with depression. Because that heart is filled with the noor and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a heart which is happy, which is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. People will come and tell you, what happens if this government falls, another government, another party is elected, and those people are anti-Muslim? What do you say? You say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whoever is elected or not elected cannot even take a breath, cannot even take one single breath without the will of Allah. That is the one I worship. Who can harm me? Who can harm me? Who can harm me against the will of Allah? If Allah does not want me to be harmed, who can harm me? And if Allah has written something for me, who can stop it from happening? And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith Qudsi, he said that if all the people, all the human beings and jinn, from the first of them to the last of them, meaning every single one of them ever created, all the good ones and the bad ones, including all the Anbiya and Rusul, all the prophets and messengers, including all the kings and all the dynasts, including all the poor and the rich, including all the learned and the ignorant, including all the strong and the weak, including everyone and everyone, if they all collected together in one place, in one maidan, in one field, and simultaneously, if they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for every single desire in their heart, everything, material, non-material, physical, spiritual, moral, emotional, every single desire in their heart, if they simultaneously asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of that together in one voice, and Allah gives it to them, and Allah can give it to them if He wants, because there is no end to the treasures and the khudrat and the power and the glory and the majesty of my Rabb. If they all ask together, from the first man and the first jinn to the last man and the last jinn, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together in one voice for everything they want, every desire, and Allah gives it all to them, it will not decrease from the treasures of Allah even as much as, not decrease even as much as, the water that may stick to the tip of a needle, if that needle is dipped in the ocean and removed. Try it and see. Try it and see. You may not be near an ocean, but take a cup of water. Same principle. Take a needle. dip it in, lift it up, see how much water there is on the tip of that needle. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say that if Allah gives all of this, it is equal to that. He said, no, he said it is not even equal to that. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one whose glory and majesty, if it comes into our heart, inshallah, then it will drive away everything negative. And it will protect us from sin, and it will give us enormous confidence to live in this world. My brother and sister, if you are Muslim, live with confidence. Live with happiness. Live in a way where you can help people. Never complain. Never be sad. Never be afraid. Stand strong. Ask Allah. Because only Allah likes those who ask. Factor Allah into your life because He is in it anyway. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways that you cannot even imagine, from sources you cannot imagine. I ask Allah to give you in ways that you cannot imagine. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Before we go away, do remember, the purpose is to bring about change in our lives. So think about what is one thing that I don't do now which I need to start doing. What is one thing which I am doing now which is negative, so I must stop doing it. And what is one thing which I am doing now which is good, alhamdulillah, so therefore I continue to do that consistently and consciously. JazakumAllahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.